This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNlive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries that are touching our lives and also changing the way we view the world. And with us today is Dr. Michael Shermer, one of the founders of the Skeptic Movement. And we're going to be talking about his latest book, Heavens on Earth, The Scientific Search for the Afterlife, Immortality, and Utopia. That's right. Believe it or not, in this hour, we're going to talk about heaven, the afterlife, whether or not it's possible scientifically to achieve immortality. We should also point out that he writes a column for Scientific American. He's the editor of the Skeptic magazine. And you've probably seen him on TV, sometimes debunking some psychic or whatever. So, Michael, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Thanks, Michio. Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, every day when you open the news, there's some story going on about paranormal behavior, psychic phenomenon, and your book cuts to the chase and goes right to the whole question of immortality and the afterlife. So first of all, let me ask you some questions about some of the things in the news. First of all, Bigfoot. There was a study done analyzing the footprint of Bigfoot to analyze the DNA to see whether or not we could trace Homo sapien-like DNA to these footprints. But it came out negative. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, they always do. Well, actually, usually they come out to be like large bears or wolves or coyotes, you know, something that could have been seen traipsing along in the, you know, in the dusk and shadows that vaguely looks like something in your imagination that could be a bipedal primate, but turns out to be, you know, something else. In fact, there was a study done recently on the famous German alpinist, Reinhold Messner, who he summited Everest without oxygen more than anybody else. Anyway, during his many trips there, he undertook a investigation of Yeti, which was the Himalayan version of Bigfoot. And his Sherpas told him, you know, yeah, Yeti's real. Yeah, we'll show you Yeti. We've seen him. And he's like, really? Oh, my God. So, you know, they went out on a hike one day, and they said, there he is. And they're pointing to a big bear. He's like, oh, that's Yeti. Okay. And it turns out that that's what it is. Usually bears or wolves or something like that. The footprints get large because, you know, once it steps into the snow and then the snow melts around in that pattern of the footprint, it enlarges and increases in size. And so, again, in your imagination, it looks like a human footprint, but it isn't. So really, like in biology, to name a new species, you have to have a type specimen, a so-called holotype, and then biologists will believe. If you return from an expedition and you go, here it is, I found the body, or I have a live specimen, you can all see it, photograph it, dissect it, whatever, put it in the zoo. But in the case of Bigfoot, we don't have that, and every biologist would change their mind instantly if a Bigfoot hunter returned with an actual specimen of Bigfoot, dead or alive. That was not some guy in an ape suit or a blurry photograph for a grainy video. We in science need actual concrete evidence.
Okay, and I guess the same thing goes for the Loch Ness Monster, right? People say that there has to be at least a breeding population of maybe 50 or so of these Loch Ness Monsters, and we see no evidence. But what are your thoughts?
That's right. Bigfoot, Loch Ness, all these cannot be just isolated individuals living for centuries. They'd have to be a breeding population, which usually requires a couple hundred individuals. So given that number, you would eventually find a roadkill or one that died in the side of a hiking trail or a fire break road or something like that, and yet still nothing. And in this age with cell phone cameras, everybody has a camera, a high-definition camera and video in their pocket, and still nothing. And, in fact, the number of sightings has actually gone down as the number of cell phones goes up. So that's a bad sign for them, along with ufologists, that, again, the more sightings you have, it seems like the more evidence you have, but in fact, with everybody having their own camera in their pockets, the number of sightings of UFOs has actually gone down from its pinnacle decades ago.
Okay, and getting closer to your book, Heavens on Earth, let's talk about the afterlife. Some people say that it's already here. Just turn on the TV, and you see these people on TV that can talk to dead people. And it's quite convincing. People from the audience come up, strangers from the audience, and then the psychic knows things about the deceased that no one else knew and begins to say things like, well, the person forgives you from the afterlife. So how do you do that? How do you talk to dead people?
Well, first of all, anybody can talk to dead people. It's getting the dead to talk back. That's the hard part. And the way it works such that it looks like the dead are talking back is the so-called psychics are doing a technique called cold reading, where you're literally reading somebody cold, that is, you've never met them. Then there's also warm reading techniques, where you're using lines and words and phrases that work for most people. And so, for example, most people who have lost somebody close to them that they loved have some kind of keepsakes from the deceased person. Photographs, pieces of jewelry. Like men, for example, turns out typically keep their father's or grandfather's watch. I discovered this back in the 90s when I sat all day watching a psychic named James Van Prague do readings, including on me. He didn't know who I was. This is for a History Channel show. Histories and Mysteries, I think it was called. Unsolved Mysteries, it was called. And he kept bringing up the watch. He'd say, you know, your father's here, or a grandfather, and he's telling me something about a watch. And it suddenly dawned on me, because my father died when I was in my early 30s, and I kept his watch. And I don't know why. It just seemed like a cool thing to have, a connection to my father. And I realized, oh, this is what all guys do. They all keep their dad's watch. And with the way it was always a piece of jewelry or, you know, particularly photographs. And those are techniques that all psychics know that if you bring them up, chances are pretty good you're going to get a hit, that people will feel like there's some kind of connection there. And then you just rattle through a bunch of comments and especially lots of questions. Like, he's telling me something about a white car. What does that mean? A red dress. What does that mean? There's something coming through here. You tell me how this connects to you. And the person getting the reading, then they're the ones doing the reading. The pressure is on them to find some link to the word the psychic just said. And inevitably they can, if you look far enough. So it feels like the dead are meeting right there in a hotel suite or television studio or something, which is bizarre in and of itself. But to the person who doesn't know, who's never been to these readings, who doesn't know the techniques, it seems like it's nearly miraculous. And, of course, our propensity to get into the deeper psychology of it is to want to believe there's another life after death. And part of the problem is that we can't conceive of life, ending, because we only have the experience of being alive. And you can't experience death. By definition, to experience anything, you have to be alive. You have to be conscious, sentient, aware. And so if you're not, you're experiencing nothing. So when I say, can you picture yourself dead, and maybe you, Mitch, you picture yourself at your funeral, and there's lots of people there, and hopefully they're mourning, and you're in your casket or something. Well, you wouldn't see any of that. You wouldn't experience anything because you're gone. And so this sets up something of a paradox that we know people die because it happens all the time around us, and yet we can't imagine ourselves dying. So it creates this sense that, well, somehow or other, it must go on. If not physically, then in some kind of spiritual or soul sense.
And usually at the end of the reading on television, everyone breaks down and cries because the psychic says your deceased forgives you. And I thought to myself, well, that's interesting. I mean, you can always say that the deceased forgives you, and you can end the show on some high note. Anyway, this is Dr. Michio Kaku, and this is Science Fantastic. Our special guest is Dr. Michael Shermer. His new book coming out right now is Heavens on Earth. Stay tuned as we talk about life after death. How does science view the question of immortality?
Bitcoin is losing crypto market share to other digital currencies. Bitcoin's astronomical rise has led to the creation of numerous competitors like Ethereum, Ripple, and Litecoin, which have also seen massive gains in value. According to Quartz, Bitcoin made up 85% of the crypto market 1 year ago, and today it has fallen to 36%. Remember, the only way to win in the casino is to take chips off the table. Call Miles Franklin at 866-485-4346 and let us show you how to quickly turn your Bitcoin into the 5,000-year-old safety of precious metals. Miles Franklin can quickly convert your Bitcoin to precious metals with one phone call at 866-485-4346. That's Miles Franklin celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Fast, easy, safe, and convert your Bitcoin into gold with one phone call.
You have been lied to. Generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror. And now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Are you living your passion? Are you pumped to go to work because you get to talk about or work with or do the things that interest you the most? Is working, playing, and relaxing one and the same? As long as you're working for someone else, you'll never be living entirely true to yourself and your passion. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Let me show you how you can work around your current schedule, create the extra income so you can live your passion. Visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com. radio.recordedvideo.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is Dr. Michael Shermer, one of the founders of the Skeptic Movement. He has a new book. That's right, a new book just coming out called Heavens on Earth, The Scientific Search for the Afterlife, Immortality, and Utopia. And by coincidence, I have a book coming out later in late February. The book is called The Future of Humanity, where I go not just 100 years, but hundreds and thousands of years into the future, when we might become a multi-planet species, starting with the colonization of Mars, going out to the solar system, and then maybe into the stars themselves. And I'll be on a book tour, and once again, that's the end of February. Go to my website to find out more information. That's mkaku.org, mkaku.org, about my book coming out in late February. Now, Michael, let me ask you another thing about synchronicity. Some psychics, in fact, many people think that they're psychic because they're thinking about somebody, and then the phone rings, and sure enough, that person is on the phone. And you say to yourself, I'm psychic. I'm psychic. I think about somebody, and there they are calling. But don't you forget all the times when somebody else called that wasn't the person you're thinking of, and don't you only remember the hits? How does that
work? That's right. Exactly right, yeah. In science, you have to remember the misses as well as the hits and ask, is there a statistical probability of the hits happening beyond chance? And almost always the case is no. All the times you thought of calling your friend Bob and he didn't call, or you went or he called and you weren't thinking about him and so on, all the other boxes in the possibility space that aren't filled, and you only remember the hits. So that's a confirmation bias where we look for and find confirming evidence for what we already believe and ignore the disconfirming evidence. So science is designed on purpose to look for the disconfirming evidence. If you don't, somebody else will, usually with great glee in a public forum, debunk your ideas. But outside of science, you know, people aren't trained to look for the misses. And so it seems intuitively like these synchronicitous links happen. And if you go deeper, if you have some kind of connection to, say, quantum physics, and you think, well, there's, you know, this spooky action at a distance that Einstein talked about, how there's these quantum fields that link all particles. Therefore, when I'm thinking about my friend, you know, somehow my thoughts traverse across the ether of quantum fields and influences his brain, and he calls me. You know, so you actually see these. This is what we call pseudoscience, that it's couched in language that sounds like it's quantum physics and quantum consciousness and so on, but really those are just words. And the application of quantum physics doesn't apply in this case to, you know, macro level things like neurons in the brain. So it's really just a statistical artifact fueled by the human desire to have something else connecting us.
And aren't we evolutionarily hardwired to complete the dots and make connections that aren't there? Because once in a while, they're correct. And evolutionarily speaking, it helped our ancestors to survive, even though 99% of the time they were false positives and nothing happened at all. Isn't there a slight evolutionary advantage to those people who jump to conclusions? In other words, there's no gene for science, but there is a gene for magic, right?
That's right, in the sense that finding connections between things, that is, looking for causal variables that affect our lives. Like, you know, you hear a rustle in the grass. Is it a dangerous predator or is it just the wind? Well, if you assume it's a dangerous predator and it turns out it's just the wind, that's a false positive. It's called a type 1 error. But that's a relatively harmless error to make. There's very little cost in just being more cautious and moving away. But if you assume the rustle in the grass is just the wind and it turns out it's a dangerous predator, you're lunch. You'll be given a Darwin Award for taking yourself out of the gene pool early before reproducing. So we're the evolved products of those who were more paranoid about the world around them, likely to assume that rustles in the grass are dangerous predators just in case. So my argument is that it's not that people are dumb or stupid, ignorant, uneducated buffoons that believe weird things. No, we all are capable of believing things that are not true because our brains are wired up to just assume most connections we see in the world are true just in case. And again, science is counterintuitive. It's designed to weed those out. That is, weed out the type 1 errors and the type 2 errors, the false positives and the false negatives, and try to determine what's actually true. And that turns out to be harder than we thought, and that's why it's taken centuries for science to develop these particular techniques like blind and double-blind conditions and so on, because experimenter bias can influence how you actually even record the data that you're observing. You yourself, even though you're trying to be unbiased, it's really hard to do.
Okay, now, there have been many bestsellers talking about the light at the end of the tunnel, trying to get some kind of insight into heaven. But isn't this light at the end of the tunnel, isn't it possible to induce it artificially? So what are your thoughts about all those books about how people die?
Sure. Yes, I have a whole chapter in Heavens on Earth devoted to near-death experiences and reincarnation. And because a lot of people say, well, we already have the evidence of an afterlife. People have gone there and come back and told us about it. And the problem with these stories, and there's lots of them, so clearly there's a real experience that needs explaining. And the problem is that they're indistinguishable from other kinds of experiences that people have, such as induced hallucinations from hallucinogenic drugs, ayahuasca and MDMA and ecstasy and others that when you read the accounts, say, of Oliver Sacks or Sam Harris, who have written about their hallucinatory trips they've taken, that to me they sound just like the trips described in these near-death experience books. I mean, the details are slightly different, of course, because everybody's trip is individualized, but the intense colors, the bright lights, the tunnel, seeing loved ones, feeling intense emotions, particularly love and connectedness to other people that have gone to the other side, connectedness to God, especially the universe, just kind of this feeling of one with the universe and a warm, glowing feeling that, you know, none of it mattered, all pain is gone. These are the kinds of experiences that change people's lives, but the problem from a scientist's perspective is, how do you know this is you actually went to heaven when all these other people that didn't go to heaven, they just dropped acid. They describe very similar experiences to yours. Like I told this to this guy, Eben Alexander, who wrote a best-selling book called Proof of Heaven. He's a neurologist. I think he would know. I mean, he does know. He knows the science as well as I do of how people's brains get tricked. And yet, for him, the personal experience was so powerful, so overwhelming, so changed his life that he simply dismissed all the evidence. Said, well, that doesn't apply to me. Mine was different. And this is the problem when you haven't had the experience and you're just analyzing these stories from a scientist's perspective, you can't tell the difference. So the assumption, the default position, the skeptical scientific position is they're all in people's heads. None of them represent an actual bridge or stairway to heaven. They're all internal states. Now, I could be wrong. I've never had anything quite that dramatic, and I've never dropped acid. So, you know, I'm not speaking from personal experience here, and people are trying to induce me to try ayahuasca and some others just so I could make that connection. But even if I did, even if I dropped acid or took ayahuasca and came back on your show and said, Mitchu, I discovered that there's another spiritual world out there in another dimension. You got to join me and try the ayahuasca. Well, it would be reasonable for you to be skeptical and say, yeah, Shermer, but I didn't. Where's your evidence? All you have is an internal state that you're telling me about that sounds indistinguishable from those of people like Oliver Sacks that wrote about that.
Okay, well, I understand that the Air Force did a study on their fighter pilots. They put them in an ultracentrifuges just before they blacked out. And just before they blacked out, blood drained from the outer part of their retina, focusing on the center part of the retina where the blood was still flowing. And that gave the illusion of light at the center of their field of vision, and it looked like a tunnel. And they could actually induce this effect artificially. So isn't it true that you can induce out-of-body experiences by touching the brain with probes and by putting fighter pilots in ultracentrifuges, that you can induce many of the effects of the so-called afterlife?
Yeah, that's right. So in addition to taking hallucinogens, you can deprive the cortex of oxygen, particularly the visual cortex, in a way of like accelerating pilots in a centrifuge. Basically, they just pass out because the blood all gets pushed to the center of the body, including the center of the brain. So as the outer shells of the brain, the cortex.
Okay, Michael, we have to take a short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue discussion of the afterlife. Is there evidence for an afterlife? And what about digital immortality, genetic immortality, cryonics? There's a number of ways in which some people think we could become immortal. Once again, this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Okaku. Stay tuned as we talk about the afterlife and immortality.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
It's been said, Any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protected building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutraMedical.com. 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's Nutri Medical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. Or call our order line, 888-212-8871.
Fantastic. Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is Michael Shermer. He has a new book coming out. That's right, this month, a new book coming out, Heavens on Earth, The Scientific Search for the Afterlife, Immortality, and Utopia. So one question for you is, well, why do all cultures believe in some form of afterlife and heaven of some sort?
Yeah, I think, again, again, has to do with how our brains are wired up. We cannot conceive of non-life because we've only ever known being conscious and alive. So when you're put under general anesthesia, for example, and you lose 2 hours or whatever, it's gone. You have no experience of not being conscious, just like when you go to sleep, although dreams interrupt that a little bit. But death would be something like general anesthesia. It's just that you never wake up. So there's no experience of it at all. So all we have is that we're alive and we can project, unlike other animals, other species. Other species, as I discuss in the book, mourn and grieve their lost loved ones. They have a feeling of connectedness to and feel bad about the loss of some of their fellow species members. But they, as far as we can tell, they don't conceive of some afterlife. We're the only species that does that. And that probably goes back to Neanderthals, where they bury their dead with grave goods and things like that. We're not sure about that 100%. But today, all cultures have an idea of somehow or another myself, which I can conceive of floating around in my brain. Just like we have two words, brain and mind, and most cultures have this as well, the sense that there's something floating around up there that's separate from my brain. We know that's not true. Neuroscientists tell us absolutely every twitch and laugh and feeling and emotion that we thought that we have is wired, is, you know, definitely connected to neurons firing and nothing else. There's nothing floating around up there. But it feels like there is. And so that intuition then gets grafted on to cultural myths that have to do with heaven, and then, of course, heavens are always constructed to be something how we would like life to be that we don't have now, which is why most of the monotheism heavens, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, developed as they were in a desert environment with, you know, mostly impoverished conditions, envisioned heaven as a land of milk and honey and endless water and just, you know, all the supplies you need and no suffering and pain. And, you know, because life was pretty hard, really hard for them compared to our lives. And so naturally they project onto this afterlife the things that they would like there to be now. And that, one reason I called it heavens on earth, plural, is because there's so many versions of it. But also the idea that this is what we would like now, and we don't have it. So if we can't have it in this world, then at least we could have it in the next world. Which is why heavens always involve systems of justice. You know, the wrongly accused and the wrongly harmed will be made whole again, and the evil people, the Hitlers of the world, will be punished in eternity in hell, and, you know, everything will be made right in the next world. And the reason for that is because we would like it to be made right in this world, and when you can't have that, then you project it into the next world. Which is why I also devote a part of the book to utopias, because those are attempts to create heavens on earth, you know, genetically engineering or social engineering of societies. And they always fail because they have a flawed nature, a flawed theory of human nature, and it's too complex and there's too much variation to create a perfect society. But the desire is there everywhere.
Okay, now let's talk about immortality, scientifically speaking. Some people believe in something called cryonics. That is, you freeze yourself in liquid nitrogen or whatever, and then you get thawed out hundreds of years into the future when we've cured cancer, cured death, cured everything, and you're brought back to life again. So, well, let's take a short commercial break. But after the break, let's talk about genetic immortality, digital immortality, and cryonics. You are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And our special guest is Dr. Michael Shermer, author of a new book just coming out called Heavens on Earth, The Scientific Search for the Afterlife, Immortality, and Utopia. Stay tuned.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
If you or anyone you love has been diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, your diagnosis may be the result of job-related exposure to asbestos, and you may be entitled to compensation. Over $30 billion in trusts have been set aside for individuals who have been affected by asbestos exposure. How do you protect your rights and get the compensation you deserve? Call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. Capital Legal Group is one of the nation's resources for settlement of lung cancer and mesothelioma cases. Law firms have successfully recovered over $2.7 billion for their clients in all 50 states, and claims have been paid in as little as 60 days. If you or a family member were diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. We'll open a no-cost case review on your behalf. A history of tobacco use or cigarette smoking will not disqualify your case. Visit 800-400-LUNG.com or call 800-400-LUNG. Call 800-400-5864 now. That's 800-400-LUNG.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this show, believe it or not, we are talking about heaven, the afterlife. We're talking about immortality with Dr. Michael Shermer, one of the founders of the Skeptic Movement, a columnist for Scientific American, and author of a new book just hitting the stands right now called Heavens on Earth, The Scientific Search for the Afterlife, Immortality and Utopia. Well, Michael, there's some people who think that they can live forever by freezing their body or their head and then having it thawed out hundreds of years into the future when we've cured death, cured cancer, and whatever. And some people say that famous people have already willed their bodies to cryonics. Some people speculate maybe Ted Williams, maybe Walt Disney, maybe even Michael Jackson had willed their bodies to these institutes. Is this all a fake? Or what are your thoughts?
Well, not a fake in the sense that people have done. There's 209 people or something have been frozen to date. None of them will be brought back, absolutely. And even the most optimistic cryonics proponents will say that the chances are very, very slim that any of these people will be brought back. They don't say zero. But the ones that were frozen decades ago before they had some improved technologies of injecting antifreeze drug into tissues so that they don't shatter when they freeze. The problem with water, when you freeze, it expands and this shatters the cell wall. So there goes all your memories that are stored in these neurons when the neurons are destroyed. So the new techniques with cryonics is to first inject the body and brain with this antifreeze stuff. The problem is that, and they use like sperm and eggs and embryos that are frozen. Yes, that those can be frozen and brought back to life, but there's a huge difference between the microscopic world of eggs and sperm and embryos and the macro world of a brain. It's a huge organ. And getting the antifreeze in there to store, preserve the neurons where your memories are stored is very difficult. At the moment, it's impossible. There are some people working on this. I went and visited their labs, and I write about it in Heavens on Earth, but there's still a long, long ways from this happening. So it's better than, I'd say it's better than religion, which offers no evidence. But still, it's at the moment, the state treats it as a form of burial. You're just being buried this way instead of some other way or being cremated. But the problem also with these various forms of storing your connectome, yourself, your memories, it assumes that you are just your memories. But so there in the book, I distinguish between memory self, mem self, and point of view self, your POV self. So when you, Michio, go to sleep tonight, you wake up tomorrow, there's a continuity between your waking self, sleeping self, and waking self again. And if you go under general anesthesia and you're brought back, you may be groggy for a little bit, but your self comes back. You're looking through your eyes. That's your point of view. If you're chronically frozen and awoken, say, 1,000 years from now, or if we copy your connectome and all your memories and put them in a computer, it's not at all clear that you'll wake up in the computer, or that you'll wake up 1,000 years from now, you know, looking out through your eyes. And so that is a problem that hasn't been solved yet because no one's been brought back yet. So we may be, this gets down to the philosophical question of who are you? You know, the nature of identity. Is it just your memories? The problem with that is that if we copied all your memories right now, let's say some fancy fMRI machine and we put you, Michio, in the machine and copied all your memories and then put them in a computer while you're still standing there awake, well, when we turn on the computer, you don't suddenly go transfer into the computer. You're still standing there in your body, and it's just a copy of you standing, sitting there in the computer going, here I am, and you're standing there going, no, here I am. I'm the real Michio Kaku. That's just a copy. So even if we copied all your memories, it's just a copy, like a twin. It's not you. No twin looks at its twin and goes, well, there I go. And so I think all of these attempts are deeply flawed philosophically as well as technologically. And again, they appeal because it's kind of sci-fi, and we'd all like to live forever, or at least much longer. But the only thing we know of is just to keep going and stay healthy for as long as you can, because this is all we have as far as we know.
Okay, and there's also the question of genetic immortality. The Greenland shark, for example, we were surprised to find, can live to be over 400 years of age. It's thought that some Greenland sharks were actually 500 years of age, and we can prove it by looking at the eye and slicing the eye and looking at tree ring, just like tree rings you see in the forest. There are eye rings for the Greenland shark. Now, if animals can live 400 years, then the question is, why not people if we can modify our genes? Well, let's take a short commercial break. Once again, our special guest is Michael Shermer, author of the book Heavens on Earth, The Scientific Search for the Afterlife, Immortality, and Utopia. Stay tuned for the next segment of Science Fantastic.
You're listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Homemakers, Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today, once again, has a new book coming out right now called Heavens on Earth, The Scientific Search for the Afterlife, Immortality and Utopia. And next month, in the end of February, I'll be on a book tour because I have a new book coming out called The Future of Humanity, going not just 100 years, but centuries, maybe even millennia, when we do have colonists on Mars. We do have the possibility of leaving the solar system and perhaps even going into the galaxy itself. I give you the science behind what some people believe could be the beginning of a multi-planet species. That is, maybe we need an insurance policy rather than putting Homo sapiens just on one planet. Why not become a multi-planet species? Well, once again, our special guest today is Dr. Michael Shermer. The book is called Heavens on Earth. Let me ask you about genetic immortality. In the laboratory, we can take a wild animal and double their lifespan. In fact, we can increase their lifespan by 30% simply by feeding them 30% less calories. And we're identifying the genes that seem to control aging by looking at the genes of old people, looking at the genes of young people, and seeing where aging is concentrated, like, for example, in a car. Where does aging take place in a car? Well, the engine, of course. Well, the engine of a cell is the mitochondria, and bingo, that's where most aging takes place. So what are your thoughts about genetic immortality, which we don't have yet? We're far from it, but hey, maybe one day we could have it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, in a way, we do have genetic immortality in the sense that your own offspring continue and carry half your genes with you into the future, which is evolutionary immortality. In that sense, the species, Homo sapiens, is an immortal species. And we could go extinct, but as you are writing about in your next book, if we become a multi-planetary species, the chances of us going extinct are very, very slim, because you'd have to have extinction events all at the same time in all these different planets. So it's possible that that humans moving out into space is our best chance for that form of genetic immortality. Although I think there'd be speciation events, and we would once again become a multiple species, hominid species, just like it was, say, 100,000 years ago when there were half a dozen different bipedal primates roaming around the world. I think it'll return to that. But that's not what people want, of course, as Woody Allen famously said, I don't want to live on through my offspring or work. I want to live on in my apartment. Well, you can't. At the moment, we can the genetic experiments as well as the low-calorie diets, they definitely work on animals, particularly small animals. But low-calorie diets with primates, for example, has not stood up to replicating studies. The genetics of it, it hasn't worked with humans. Our upper ceiling is about 120 years, and no one has gotten past, say, 125. And the idea that we're living twice as long as we used to is a bit of a red herring. What we're talking about there are public health measures that have allowed more and more people to move up toward the upper ceiling of that 120 years into 70s, 80s, 90s, and so on, more centenarians than there's ever been. But no one's making it past the upper ceiling. And the only hope with genetics would be to somehow reprogram the telomeres at the end of the cell, at the end of chromosomes that enable cells to divide indefinitely. Part of the problem with that is that cells that divide indefinitely are called cancer cells, and those will kill you for other reasons. So that research, the idea that you could reprogram the telomeres is a long, long ways from happening. And so the idea that it's going to happen in our lifetime is a chimera. It's not going to happen. It's a dream. So, again, eat, drink, and be merry, Mitchie. This is it, really. Seriously, we have to treat each other with respect and work on making our world a better place now, here, because the idea of placing too much emphasis on these future phantasms is just too unrealistic.
Now, there's already a Silicon Valley company offering to take all the information known about you, your videos, your credit card transactions, and, you know, create a facsimile of you. And this is a form of digital immortality. And that's today. You can imagine what's going to happen decades in the future when we know everything about you, all your videotapes, all your Instagrams, everything. And the computer begins to construct a library. I wouldn't mind going to the library and talking to Albert Einstein, having a nice conversation with Winston Churchill or great figures from the past, and maybe you will be immortalized this way and talk to your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids because you've been immortalized as well. Some people think this is inevitable because so much information is available about us today. You can imagine what it's going to be like in the future when we digitize the brain and the Connectome Project digitizes all our neurons. Now, would this mean we have two copies of you? Well, yes, but what's wrong with that? So what are your thoughts about digital immortality? Yeah.
This gets back to the point of view self. It's not you. It's just a copy of you. And while you and I might enjoy talking to Einstein or Darwin, for example, we wouldn't be talking to them. We'd be talking to copies of them, which is fine for you and I, but that doesn't help Einstein and Darwin, who are dead in the grave. These are just copies. Ray Kurzweil is trying to do this. This is the famous inventor who now is the chief engineer of Google. And he's working on this of, sort of digital immortality. And there's a great documentary film I write about in the book called Immortal Man, Transcendent Man, where he's attempting to resurrect his father. His father died at age 51, and Ray, didn't really get to know him like he would have liked to. And he's keeping in his basement or whatever, his garage or something.
Okay, Michael, unfortunately, we've run out of time. But once again, your book is called Heavens on Earth, now available. The Search for the Afterlife, Immortality, and Utopia. And once again, Dr. Michael Shermer is the editor of Skeptic Magazine and the founder, one of the founders of the Skeptic Movement. And also coming out a month later, at the end of February, I have a book coming out called The Future of Humanity, where I go, let's face it, not 10 years, but hundreds, maybe thousands of years into the future, when we become a multi-planet species. What about the physics? What about the biology of what it takes to leave the planet Earth? So once again, this has been Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.